You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Fucking Western Conference, man. New Orleans should not be in the fucking Western Conference. That's the real bullshit. We should have been in the East this whole time.
You'd be tied for third in the East,
right? It's such bullshit. It's such bullshit.
You'd be tied with the Cavaliers.
We're east of the fucking Mississippi River. We should not be in the Western Conference. And it's going to take whenever they do the expansion to Vegas and Seattle, then we'll get bumped to the East.
Some of the cities west of the Mississippi River.
So yeah, I was gonna say it's not entirely
east of Mississippi.
Yeah, but it's the West Bank. We don't count the West Bank.
Big dummy, you're listening to the Dome Patrol podcast.
What's up, Houdat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol podcast, the official Saints podcast of the Fans First Sports Network. I am your host, Jason, today because Jeff is busy with his boss. Could be his real boss, could be his wife, we don't know. Could be Bruce Springsteen, assuming he's recovered from his bout with COVID. For all you Kirby enthusiasm. For all you Kirby enthusiasm fans out there, or it could be bullshit. You don't know.
We're sure it is not boss videos on Pornhub, though.
Well, no, because he's now you got to put your ID in.
That's what I'm saying. Pornhub. It's not that because he wouldn't put his ID in there for sure.
Like a boss. So the Saints offseason is still in full swing. We are 3 weeks away from the NFL draft. It will gear up over the next few weeks as we get even closer to the draft. Now that we've turned the page to April. But in the meantime, we've got a few things to talk about, some various topics. The Saints signed a player. We're discussing what we're going to do in the draft if we stay put. Hopefully
you didn't
we don't
say football player, just by the way. You just said a player.
I mean, he kicks the ball, so technically he's a footballer, right? And the ongoing Lattimore news, no news. Is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing? That's kind of out there. So, I can't believe I'm forgetting this. Put your seat belts on. Put your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times, and enjoy the show. With us, we have Wesley and James. What's up, fellas?
What's up, man?
What's up, Mom?
James, it's later where you are now, right? You got the time change.
Time change at the weekend, so it's back to being
back to 6
10:30 in the evening for me. Yay! practicing for the drive for the draft live show.
Oh, if you're listening to this at 8 a.m., it is not 10:30 in London right now.
10:30 p.m. when this is being recorded.
I still do remember when we were over there, and I'd get up in the morning and I'd check Twitter, and as I would do my usual routine, but I'm like, why is there no activity yet? Oh yeah, because it's 2 o'clock in the morning back in the States, or 3 o'clock in the morning back in the States. I had to get used to that. I couldn't start checking it until noon, 1, 2 o'clock, and then I'd start to see some things. It was definitely an adjustment. But
welcome to my world.
Yeah. But speaking of Europe, the Saints signed a kicker from Ireland.
Northern Ireland.
Northern Ireland, too, the where Rory McIlroy is from.
Correct. Do you not get the two countries mixed up?
NFL development hotbed, Ireland. Like Northern Ireland. Like if we're just gonna there are pictures of him kicking what looks like the size of an American football and kicking it 63 yards.
Through the posts.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how much of the going through the post was him or the wind, because he kicked the ball like 17 yards to the right and it had a big draw.
It does tend to be so pretty windy out there.
I mean, so apparently that video was...
He's going to be able to deal with the wind in the dome perfectly.
Yeah. He adjusted for the wind.
Yeah, but like,
look, he's clearly got it. He says that he's hit from 66 yards
with the wind.
You know what would make me feel better? Can we just get a whole bunch of videos of him kicking field goals under 35 yards? That's cool, but like Dennis Allen he punts from there. He doesn't kick field goals from 63, and we miss field goals from under 35. So can we? Maybe let's see if he can do those.
Well, it's interesting too, because they gave him a 3-year contract.
I don't think any of it's guaranteed though.
Oh, I think
if he makes the team, we have him at a cheap rate for a couple more years.
But if he doesn't, we add ghost years or void years to it.
No, it's just nothing's guaranteed. You can just cut him at any time. And
oh, okay.
He
All right,
gets his minimum salary for the weeks that he is here working out.
All right, I feel better.
I think I saw somewhere that it escalates. I think year one, if you make the team,
if we keep him
500, yeah, 1,000, then it's 750, then it's 1 million in year three or something like that.
Okay,
I mean, that's cheap enough. Do we carry two kickers?
I mean, I was gonna say, do you even trust us to make the right decision? Because clearly, last year with our kicker and punter, we've made the wrong decision. So I mean, we could decide to keep him.
With the new kickoff rules, is he the kickoff specialist? Or...
That's what he's been practicing. He saw the new rules, and those are in his wheelhouse.
I've been doing that in the backyard with my mates.
It's just wild, because you just had this kicker this past weekend for the UFL. He was bombing. He was bombing kicks. He hadn't kicked since high school. Could have just brought him in for a tryout.
So the guy we've signed only started kicking with an American football in August last year.
Hmm.
Once again, there are a million kids in the United States. I say kids, there are a million people in the United States somewhere between 18 and 23 years old that have been kicking a football since they were 10. They have a dozen years of kicking a football, and none of them are good enough to are they just bad at YouTube? Is that what's going on? Like, it's just weird that the guy that's been kicking a year and a half is getting this opportunity. Like, it'd be great if it works out. This is Lou Headley. Like, oh, that's a cool story. But like, when it actually comes time to kick in a game, like, there's more to it that many, many years of confidence and practice have to give you. You have to have thousands and thousands and thousands of kicks to rush through this and do it at the speed of an NFL game. And I don't think a year and a half is again, it doesn't hurt anything. This is really going to put pressure on the kicker to improve, I guess.
So as far as I'm aware, because he's signed through the international pathway, they'll keep him for the 3 years around, won't they? But he won't necessarily. He doesn't cost anything against
the roster. I think he's like an extra roster spot that doesn't actually count. But I don't think it's all 3 years. I thought it was two because we kept the defensive end, defensive tackle, whatever he was from London or England.
Alex Jenkins.
Like we were able to keep him on the as the 91st person or 54th person on the roster without counting against the roster.
Yeah.
I mean, and it was a lot of good Alex Jenkins did us. I think we can all agree with that.
It's just interesting. It is a cool, fun story. The New Orleans people do love good, fun stories. This seems like he'd be a fun guy, but I just at some point, you just got to put it through the uprights. I mean, that's what it all comes down to.
It'd be awesome. It'd be fun. I mean, like I would love for us to upgrade our kicker and punter situation. And so I hope this isn't the last competitor they bring in before next season to put, like, if this is the one guy that's supposed to push our kicker, like I'm nervous about that really putting pressure.
Oh, 100% it is. They're not bringing anybody else. Come on. This is the competition. We're going to have two guys. This is the competition. This is what it's going to be in training camp. We'll be watching these dudes kick field goals all training camp.
Like you said, Jason, we probably didn't make the right decision last year. We need to make the right decision this year. Whatever that decision is, it needs to be the right decision this year because he wasn't last year.
And that's the question. Do you trust these guys to make the right decision? Eh.
Well, regardless of all the things that went wrong and were stupid last year, I will say this, that if Thomas Morstead was our punter and Will Lutz was our field goal kicker, we would have won the division. And I don't think you can realistically argue that, but I really believe that.
It's so disappointing that we let Morstead go and we haven't brought him back because he still lives here. He still does things here. The people want him back. And he signed
his Jets contract sitting in front of a Saints poster or news article, like on his wall in his office. He signed his Jets. It's just so funny.
Yeah, I mean, like he just built his house.
The Crescent City.
Yeah, he just ran the Crescent City Classic. He built his new house this year right down the street from my brother. It's like he's a New Orleanian. I mean, all the times, like Drew Brees was a great quarterback, but he always would go back to San Diego. Like Morstead is actually making his life.
He sold his house as soon as he.
Oh, of course he did. Retired. Of course he did. I mean, look, with his kid, New Orleans.
Yeah,
like,
I'm raising my kids and.
Right, I would probably do the same thing. But Morstead is here, and when he retires, he will be here. He's not going anywhere. I would like to have that guy on my team, at least do some kind of goodwill with the fan base. Nah, we're good. We're going to stick with Edley.
But this is cool because he still gets to do the goodwill with the fan base, and we don't have to pay him any money as part of the team.
We also get
a worse kicker or punter.
And he doesn't have to be a part of this shit show that has become the Saints. Yeah,
To be fair, he still says "we" when talking about the Saints. Yep. Every single
100%.
Time.
He's nobody like him. Oh, I've put his Super Bowl ring on my finger.
Oh man! All right. So before we get into the draft stuff, so it's been pretty quiet on the Lattimore front. No news. I mean, we did have there was a cornerback trade.
The Chiefs,
right? Chiefs, they traded Sneed. They traded
Sneed.
Didn't get a lot for him. So it's like, again, if that's all you can expect from Lattimore, look, I never wanted to trade him anyway. But it just makes more sense to not trade him and get pennies for on the dollar on your return. It just makes more sense to me.
I'll hope that this like kind of falls into the category that in the past with some different players, whether it was even Lattimore 2 years ago and then Michael Thomas and Jameis Winston and stuff like that, where cooler heads have prevailed. And in general, regardless of what we personally like, in general, we hear locker room support for Dennis Allen and players liking him. And we do know that whether it was his fault or somebody else's fault or the player being unreasonable, he has made good on some relationships. What could have been some big falling out and like look like they were headed towards big falling out. And at this point, it looks like this relationship staying together, not only it's always been a benefit for the Saints, but it looks like it's probably also now a benefit for Marshawn Lattimore too, because one, I don't think anybody's going to trade much for him coming off of the injury stuff, but also Like, he's not going to re-up a new contract. And like, it, maybe that would have been, if he had played last year and been dominant, that probably could have been his angle. Is, well, you get some draft pick and I get a new contract, because clearly we're not extending him now, right now. But it looks like probably what makes the most sense for the team and Dennis Allen and Marshawn Lattimore is to, and maybe cooler heads have prevailed in the last few months.
It's a massive thing for the defense if he doesn't go anywhere. You know, it's you don't need to look at drafting a cornerback because we'd be pretty well set at cornerback. I mean, obviously there's talk of the guy we had in for a visit early in free agency. He hasn't signed anywhere yet, so it could be that he's, you know, verbally agreed or whatever you want to call it. But that becomes a strength of the team. The secondary becomes a strength of the team.
To be fair, the thing about Maddox, though, is Maddox, even if Lattimore stays, that guy's a nickel. And regardless of everybody else we have on the roster, nobody could play nickel last year. Like, I like Alante Taylor, and maybe there's a future of him being a cornerback in the NFL. But he wasn't necessarily all good. He got benched twice. He came back and handled the benching well, or one time he handled it well. One time he was kind of off his rocker, but made interceptions when he came back. I mean, maybe that's not his natural position. And I don't think it ever was. I think that was setting him up for failure. But he seemed to be the one player that Dennis Allen held accountable for failure last year, and he was playing out of position. So
the defensive backs are also going to be the strength of our defense, because they're the part of our defense that isn't over the hill. So there's a lot that goes in there.
Well, and also because if Chase Young doesn't play, nobody's going to put any pressure on the quarterback ever.
No, not at all. At any point in the season.
Well,
you're just back there covering for 11 seconds.
unless somebody falls to us at 14, which, you know, look, this is the time of the year where so many stories are going to come out. Oh, this guy's projected to go here. The J.J. McCarthy, he might get picked second. Well, bullshit on that. He's just not good enough. You know, even if a team takes J.J. McCarthy in the top 10, that is going to be a complete bust. I'm honestly hoping that Denver does it, because I think it would be a disaster.
He will be drafted before we draft.
That would be whoever does that is making career suicide right there. He is not going to be a good NFL player.
This isn't going to go any further into mock draft talk than this, but every mock draft I'm seeing at the moment has him going at 4. Somebody is trading up to 4 or 5 and are going to draft J.J. McCarthy.
I think
that general manager will be fired.
I think the top 5 picks, 4 of them are quarterbacks.
Yep.
And that's not Michael Penix Jr. That's J.J. McCarthy.
Whoever that GM is going to be fired. He's not going to be a good
Harbaugh said he's the best quarterback in this draft.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah,
I mean, Arizona is sat pretty at 4, aren't they? Because somebody is going to make them an offer.
Yeah,
that's going to be hilarious.
And they're still going to get, you know, Harrison or Neighbors or Thomas or Rome or something like that.
It's going to be hilarious when Minnesota trades their 2 firsts to move up to 4 and take McCarthy, and he's just going to be terrible. Like, he's not going to be good. So, look.
Maybe national champion J.J. McCarthy.
There is also, I mean, you remember a couple of years ago, all of your mock drafts said, Malik Willis would go 10th, 11th, 12th overall in that year. And like, a quarterback didn't take until round 2 or 3. So some of the McCarthy thing,
Desmond Ridder was the first quarterback taken that year, wasn't he? Was it Desmond Ridder?
Oh, I think he might have been.
Kenny Pickett. When he take him before Ridder?
Yeah, Pickett was the first.
Sorry, it was Pickett.
Yeah, Pickett was the first. Yeah.
Which,
look how that
Sean
turned out.
Payton would have stayed here, he would have drafted Kenny Pickett.
So I don't know. I just think some of the McCarthy stuff is the pre-draft. He agrees.
It's so funny to think back that it was flat out said if Peyton had stayed, we were drafting Kenny Pickett and we were signing Teddy Bridgewater. And that was our quarterback duo that was going to be our quarterback showing the rookie. Well,
just remember, if we wouldn't have gotten Reggie Bush or signed Drew Brees, we'd have picked Matt Leinart.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Did you know that we were going to take Patrick Mahomes? Have you ever heard that story?
Have you seen this? Have you heard about this?
In 2017, apparently. Right.
So
there's a rumor.
Look, And listen, regardless of four quarterbacks going before we draft is great for the Saints.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because if we're just going first best player, second best player, regardless of position, there's probably two of them are in the 14 best players. Now, because it's quarterback, it's smart. It obviously heavily weights, but if we're just going by best player. So I think with that, that means one of the top 11 or 12 players is going to be available for us at pick 14.
I hope to God that McCarthy does go in the top 10. Like I said, I hope he goes, and it's just, I don't see it, but obviously it benefits us. I don't know. I just don't think he's that good. I think what happens is he's probably a smart guy. Maybe he just interviewed well at either the combine. I mean, that had to be it, right? He just interviewed better than some of the other guys, so he's going to move up the board. But when you look at his actual making the throws, I don't know. I just don't see it. I could be wrong. I mean, look, I'm no talent evaluator. I've been very wrong on a lot of things. I just don't see JJ McCarthy as worth taking a chance on him with a top 10 pick. Like if the Saints were picking eighth and they didn't have a quarterback and they took JJ McCarthy, I would not be excited. Just the way I feel.
So that makes sense.
Yeah.
I wouldn't
want the Saints to pick him high. Luckily, we're not going to.
No, yeah, we're not going to have to worry about that at all.
But so let's assume that, you know, he does go. So if the Saints are there, you know, they're there at 14, let's say they don't trade down. They actually stay there, or trade up, I should say. They actually stay there and pick at 14.
Trade down?
Yeah, no. I would love them to trade down. Just trade down like 18, 20, pick up an extra pick. We need an extra pick somewhere. But let's say they pick at 14. You've got four quarterbacks off the board. You probably have at least one offensive tackle. You probably have three.
There's a minimum of two tackles, and there could be three or four.
You probably have the three wide receivers go.
Yeah.
So then you're looking at, you probably have.
I will just say, just so it's said out loud, in Matt Miller's most recent mock draft that he did at, I think, March 27th, at number 13, he had the Raiders drafting Bo Nix.
Oh, Jesus. That would be fantastic. I would love it.
I mean,
yes,
that's,
please.
That's right up there with the Cincinnati drafting, was it Ross, so that Lattimore fell to us.
Yeah. Look, the Raiders are known for doing stupid shit. So I could see the Raiders doing something dumb. I mean,
yes, it's like almost, there's a real chance, or, I mean, obviously chance, very likely that the only defensive player taken before we draft is Dallas Turner. And there's a real chance that you're talking about four quarterbacks, two or three offensive linemen, three or four wide receivers. I mean, at this point, with what Brian Thomas has done at his pro day and at the it's not stupid to take him in the top 12 or 13 picks. Like he's there now. Is you could make a case that he's going to end up having the most upside of any of these wide receivers. So
there's a couple of cornerbacks that are going between 8 and 13 in some mocks I'm seeing. Is it Quinya Mitchell and Terry and Arnold? There's two cornerbacks that seem to be getting rumored to be going quite high. Now, if those two go before we pick, that's also
good. Then we're set. I mean, but then you start talking about, so obviously offensive tackle is a big need for us. Like I'm not going to argue at all here that there's a bigger glaring hole or even a hole that's remotely as close as offensive tackle. But I've struggled, and me and James have talked about this, that there are drafts where Brock Bowers is falling to 14. I think that's crazy. I used to want to, what I wanted was Dallas Turner to somehow fall. 0% chance. Like he's just a game changer. And he's probably going to play for the Falcons, if we're just being honest. But if somebody like Brock Bowers plays, and you're telling me that I have the opportunity to draft probably the fifth overall best player in the entire draft, who's going to be a Pro Bowler. And I really think that about Brock Bowers. He's a Pro Bowler. He's not Kyle Pitts. He's different. Or the fourth best offensive lineman, maybe third best offensive lineman who has some injury concerns. I'm not gonna be mad if we take Brock Bowers in that situation.
No, not at all. Not at all. Especially, and look, you know, in the second round, there's going to be some tackles that are in the second round that could start.
Right. Well, I know Brock Bowers can't play offensive tackle, but if the choice is him or maybe drafting an offensive tackle that also can't play offensive tackle, I'll just take Brock Bowers.
Yeah, maybe I'm
just hurt by the pinning thing still. I don't know how much faith I have in us drafting and developing an offensive lineman.
Yeah.
Listen, and if Alt or Fashanu kind of is scary, but I mean, if the right guy falls that we feel really good about, which I said Alt's name. Alt's not falling. He's not going to. But the right thing. But if it's the guy that we're not sure about, then I don't know. Brock Bowers would. He's gonna help. He's gonna do something here, even if we don't have an offensive line.
I mean, plus, Jim, just think of all the ads he can do with the Matt Bowers auto group. I mean, it just works. He could be like a long lost cousin or something.
So, I mean, you look at the teams that are picking above us. I can't see many teams that are going to pick a tight end before we pick at 14. Maybe the Jets.
I could see the Jets. Yeah, I mean, if Bowers is there, it'd be hard for me to pass on him. I do think, and this will depend on if they sign another offensive lineman before the draft, I'd feel better about not picking an offensive lineman here. I just feel like with Ramczyk's situation, I don't even.
Yeah, know. Yeah, he's retiring after June 1st. Or actually what I think is going to happen is I think he's just going to silently not play and then retire next summer to kind of do the Saints a solid because it lets us kick his money. And he's retiring this year, but not going to announce it for a year.
So do you think there's any way they try to move Penning to right tackle?
Yeah. If you draft a better left tackle, absolutely.
Well, if you draft a left tackle, chances are he's going to be better, but
you draft Fashanu, Penning's going to start working out at right tackle immediately. If he hasn't already,
Yeah, so that's why, I think offensive tackle, I think defensive line would be a bigger need per se. But if those guys are, you know, the big ones are gone, Turner's gone, the couple of offensive tackles are gone, and Bowers is sitting there, well, it'd be hard to pass up on Bowers. It really would.
Jason, you said an interesting thing of like if the Saints sign another offensive lineman before the draft. That seems far-fetched for them to sign one of the top offensive linemen that's left before the draft. But what if, in true Saints fashion, they sign an offensive lineman 2 days after the draft that doesn't count towards the compensatory pick formula? Because this has happened with Jameis Winston and Tyrann Mathieu and Jarvis Landry, too, right? Wasn't he also part of – or maybe he wasn't part of the thing – we've done that a couple of times where we had illegal, not illegal handshake. We didn't really have a deal, but now we've made a deal.
Those were ghost agreements.
I mean, you've got, James mentioned Maddox earlier, which is a great nickel cornerback, he's a good nickel cornerback who took a visit to the Saints, hasn't visited anybody else and hasn't signed a contract. So either something's going on that everybody knows he's failed a drug test that nobody's learned about yet, and they're just scared of him, or maybe we have a deal. And then, listen, the Mekhi Becton is out there, and this is a guy that's a top 10 overall pick a couple of years ago. And I mean, he's been Trevor Penning. He's been hurt and bad and all that, but a guy drafted that high and that size, I mean, you got to believe he just needs some good coaching and some good health.
Because that's what you're going to find here.
I don't know, but I don't think he's going to be worse than Trevor Penning next year. He's Trevor Penning with three more years of NFL experience. So.
But if they both suck, then it doesn't do us any good.
Although, you can see a scenario where Andres Pete comes back.
I kind of think so. At least he knows the offense. He shouldn't be too expensive. Like, do you think there's another team that are like, man, I know we're kind of desperate. Let's go sign.
I think when it comes down to Pete signing a $1.5 million deal somewhere, here is the biggest chance for him to earn a contract next year.
Well, how old is he at this point?
Yeah.
Not old.
He's probably close to 30.
29, 30?
Yeah, I think he's almost 30.
Yeah.
Well, does he have the desire?
I know that sounds crazy, but.
Well, I mean, I remember there was a while where, like, yeah, he's got all the physical tools. Does he have the desire to really want to keep playing football? I know the money's going to be there, but. Is there a chance he may just retire?
No, he wants to play. He was super excited this past year because it was the first year that it's the healthiest he's ever been in his career. And he said he thought that 2023 was the best year of his career, numbers wise and health wise and all.
He
thought that he was fixing to earn a contract. Yeah, he just turned 30 back in November.
Okay. For offensive linemen, it's not bad though. They can play it later. No, I don't.
It's good.
I mean, yeah, you would think somebody would have signed him already.
Well, he played well at left tackle at the end of the year, didn't he?
He did.
Yeah.
He did.
And that was his college position as well.
Everybody thought that was going to expand his earning ability. But I mean, again, I get looking at 5 years of proof versus three games of proof. Fall in love with that.
It is kind of crazy though that Saints fans are like, "Yeah, let's bring Pete back." Because for the longest
two years ago, it was how soon can we get rid of him?
All the jokes made at his expense, all the bullshit. Now it's like, man, bring that motherfucker back.
I mean, that's to be fair, there's a lot of pictures and videos of him laying down while defensive linemen run past him to get the quarterback, like literally laying on his back while somebody runs past him.
I think he wasn't healthy. Now that he's healthy, you know it's going to last more than a season with the Saints and their doctors. You know it's going
to
work.
He goes to Tennessee and gets an All-Pro first healthy year where he plays 17 games.
I can see that too. So that'll be how many, you know, the big waves of free agency are over. I mean, how many signings usually occur the two or three weeks leading up to the draft? I mean, you're not hearing a lot out of the NFL now. They kind of had their big rush. You had all the massive, this money, this is guaranteed, this isn't guaranteed. Florio's tweets are like, well, if you look at his contract, really, they announced this, but this is really the contract. So that's all kind of done. So now you kind of have the soft zone, but now until the draft, where you're really not going to see a ton outside of the rules changes.
It's the draft and then the June 1st, like, because some teams are waiting on their June 1st cuts to technically hit the books before they even have the money to spend. So there's all of that. So I think you've got players left right now that still haven't accepted that they're not making as much money as their uncle agent told them that they were going to make. So they're slowly accepting that. There's people that were injured at the end of the season that are having little surgeries and they want to recover from it and talk to the teams and all that. And then there's other teams going, hey, like, let us see what the draft shakes out as. Let us see about this contract restructure that we do. Let us see, do we restructure Kamara and Taysom, or do we cut them? We don't know how much money we'll have available. We'll sign you later. I mean, I think there's a whole bunch of layers to it. I wouldn't expect very many starting caliber players to sign between now and the draft. I mean, it wouldn't feel like. Yeah. I mean, it could be a couple of more Northern Irishmen.
Yeah. Hey, if we want to bring in another punter, I'm good with that. Can we go over there and find a punter? There's got to be a good punter over there, right?
There's got to be a goalie that can punt the crap out of the ball, right?
Absolutely.
James?
Absolutely.
Well, he used to play Gaelic football, and it is like punting the ball quite a lot. No, the stadium. I knew you were going to say something like that.
Louisiana people aren't really for all that. A lot of that going around. It'll be, you know, this is kind of the interesting lead up. You know, the mock drafts are going to kick into real full gear, which I will not be a part of, but I'm assuming you guys are planning to do some mock draft shows. I mean, look, everybody usually does like, what, 100 mock drafts? So how many mock draft shows are y'all planning in the future? Just so you know, you need to have as many picks out there so you can say you were right. That's the way it goes. Do that.
We did one last year.
Yeah, we did one show last year.
Yeah, but how many versions of the show?
That's not to say that we've been texting each other, but we've already been different versions.
Oh my god. Yeah.
No, we haven't. Don't worry. We haven't.
Well, just know that I will not be a part of that. You guys can do that all on your own. Y'all gonna have to find a host for that.
Listen, I know that you loved our mock draft show last year because you told us.
What was it about? Who did y'all pick?
You listened to it four times, is what you
four
told
times?
Us.
Wow. It was all about getting the download, really. I mean, it was a sacrifice I was
So that's kind of maybe a dead zone, but we'll find stuff to talk about that's not just the mock draft.
Yeah. It's
we will.
Yeah. So yeah, we'll have it's Masters Week next week. That's a big week for me. And a lot of people, all these live assholes are finally coming back, and we'll have the first tournament with pretty much all the good players. So that'll be interesting. Plus, I mean, the Masters is just the best golf week of the year. It just is.
James, how does the size of the American ball compare to the Gaelic balls?
The Gaelic balls are round.
And wet.
It does rain a lot in Ireland, yeah.
It is pretty dreary over there. Not droopy, but dreary.
Yeah.
So, well, with that, I think that's all of our Saints news. Any final thoughts anybody wants to get into?
Yes, I have a final thought this week.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah. It's going to be a controversial one, though.
Uh-oh. Is it a mock final thought?
Steve Gleason.
Oh, here we go.
I was very, very, very disappointed to see Steve Gleason's tweet over the weekend about Liverpool Football Club. So for me now, forever, that play against Atlanta Falcons is going to be the Curtis Deloach play, not the Steve Gleason play.
Come on.
I want the statue torn down, and I want Curtis Deloach having a statue up there now.
I mean, did it make you feel better that he didn't like stand up, clap, or yell for them one time?
No. No,
oh,
didn't.
My God. He wasn't even there.
He said in his tweet that he supported
he paid
them
for
a
that
long
trip,
time.
Though.
Yeah. Well, somebody did.
Somebody did. Yeah. No, he was enjoying his time around New Orleans.
So James, you're not a Liverpool fan, and you're not a fan of Liverpool fans, right?
No, absolutely not.
What kind of person likes Liverpool over where you live, James? What kind of person, how would you describe a Liverpool fan?
It's probably a good idea if I don't go down that road. it would be like trying to get a person from New Orleans to explain why they don't like Atlanta. Same thing. But yes, that forever now is the Curtis Deloach play. It is no longer the Steve Gleason play in my eyes.
Interesting.
Mine's just, kind of another sport. We got, depending on your team, approximately 8 games left in the NBA season. And the Western Conference is just kind of off the hook with, you've got the top 3 teams within 1 game of each other, and any of them can, take over there. And then the 4th through 6th seed is 2.5 games apart, including Dallas and New Orleans in there. And it's all run around. And then that 4th place team, the Clippers, just sent their star home to take a rest. So no telling what's going to happen, but it's been pretty exciting. It's it'd be nice if somebody can upset Boston over in the Eastern Conference playoffs, because there's a lot of teams in the West that'll beat everybody in the East except for Boston.
Except Boston, yep. Well, I did see Philly's expected to get Embiid back. We'll
I just think it's going to take him time. He's such a big guy. I think it's going to take him some time to get going. But Philly's in the play-in too. They fell all the way down to the 8th seed. I don't think they can fall out of that, but them catching Miami for the 7th is unlikely. So
I hate the fact that New Orleans in the Western Conference, because of course the Western Conference is tough this year. In addition to the competitiveness of all these teams, but then you also have the Lakers that are sitting there, and they're going to get the referee whistle, they're going to get the referee advantage, because that's what the league wants. to come out of the play-in.
I don't know, so, man. It would be awesome if Houston takes out the Lakers in the play-in.
I 100% agree. But you know the NBA is not going to let that happen, which is just such bullshit in the league. But
Jason, dude, did you go to the Celtics game at the weekend?
I did.
Yeah,
it was a good first half.
I watched it on the TV over here, and the first quarter, the Pelicans were up. What, they were up 16 at one point, and it looked really good. But then the Celtics just they flipped a switch.
Defensively,
they just shut the Pelicans down.
The Pelicans' second half against the Suns was good.
Yeah, there was a stretch like the last minute of the second quarter, and then the first few minutes of the third quarter where it just turned. But yeah, like Boston just ratcheted up the defense, and it's like, oh shit. Like, that's it. I mean, there's a reason Boston has the best record in the league. They're the best team in the league. When they won, and we were shorthanded without Ingram. Like, with Ingram, I think we could have beat him, but without him, we would have had to play a perfect game. And the first half was pretty good. Second half just wasn't there. And he also, dude, Boston's just fucking good, man. With a healthy Porzingis, that's kind of the difference maker. With a healthy Porzingis, he's just a matchup nightmare. And it's just so tough. And, like, man, Herb was guarding Tatum. Tatum was taking tough shots, but he was making them. It's like, and Herb Jones is an all NBA defender. Like, there's only so much you can do. So
I think you're watching all the games. It looks like Herb is getting tired this last, because he's making great plays, but he's not towards the end of the game. You can tell like he's played a lot of minutes for a defensive specialist.
He's really carried the team. And again, this last week or two without Ingram, I mean, you're really kind of seeing it, because at least Ingram's got the length. They can switch out, because the team as a whole has played really, really good defense. And you saw the buy-in on the defense from Ingram and Zion. But without Ingram, it's just really kind of coming to a head. Like, Najee had a good stretch, but yeah, just not, I mean, look, not having a guy like Ingram who can score you 23 points and play decent defense, it's going to wear on him. And we've had to rely on Herb. I mean, Herb has been the leader of this team, and it's kind of catching up. So I know they said Ingram was kind of, Dyson is back. They're going to need him. He was a little tentative. That's something you saw in the Boston game. That was his first game back. He played pretty good defense, but there were some times where like he was scared to shoot the ball, or
far like the longest, the most amount of basketball he's played in a calendar year ever in his life. Like,
well, I mean, last year he played a lot of games last year.
Did he? Okay.
Yeah. He didn't get hurt last year, I don't think. At least
that was what Boston did. That was what Boston did really well. When he was on the court, they let him take, though they left him open to take the shots, and he just wasn't.
There has been a lot of that the past couple of games. Their shooting has kind of, they've been kind of hot and cold in terms of shooting. Now, last night, Murphy actually made a bunch of shots, but nobody else did. But it's kind of come in waves. They shot poorly for a while, then they went on a run where they all shot pretty well in the last couple of games. Like, even when they beat Milwaukee, they didn't shoot well.
Yep.
They were really aggressive. They got to the line. So the shooting just hasn't been as consistent enough. Sometimes it's been hot, sometimes it's been cold. But also, I mean, Alvarado's been out too the last couple of games. That hasn't helped. But yeah, Boston was just I didn't expect to beat Boston anyway. But
I know we talked about this a little bit earlier in the year, but like my thing about New Orleans is, one thing that it works great for some stretches is how deep your team can be. But for the playoffs, that's typically just not the way the playoffs work in the NBA. Like, you need to pare down to your eight best players, and really seven, and sort of you get the ninth guy that plays a little bit depending. But New Orleans is so deep and plays so many guys 20 minutes a night. Like, are they paring down and figuring out like who are our best eight players, or
something they've done is they've really cut Jonas's minutes lately. And in some ways I get it, but in some ways it's like, man, it was working against, you know, it was working in the first half against Boston. Like, it wasn't, or and they just kind of, they started the second half with Nance. Now, he has been starting the second half with Nance more lately, but they seem to be minimizing his minutes. And we get murdered on the boards. And look, I know, you know, Jonas is big in terms of switching and doing all that. He doesn't have the footwork to kind of deal with that. But when you get out rebounded, it's like, at some point you just got to feed him in the post too, because you give the ball to Zion, teams are just now putting three guys. They're creating the wall, and we got to get guys to either make shots, or we got to do more movement. They got to do something. So hopefully the struggles lately will have them go on to the drawing board and figuring something out that'll work going forward. They can kind of tweak something. So I guess that's the only hope. They're kind of struggling a little now, and hopefully they can kick it into gear the next week, because the schedule is just kind of tough the next week and a half. Like, just find a way to avoid the play-in at this point. That's all I'm hoping for. But then, also, fuck Devin Booker, man. Some reason that dude, he's got something against us. He always goes nuts against us. It's like, fuck you, dude. He's been in a shooting slump, but of course he scores 50 last night. Fuck that dude. Just fuck him.
And then we'll say, too, is when the NBA, Luka Doncic won Player of the Month for March. He averaged a 30-point triple-double for the month. He's the third player in the history of basketball to average a 30-point triple-double for a calendar month. Oscar Robertson and Russell Westbrook are the only people to ever do it.
Yep.
It's the second time Luka's ever done it. But it's just
good.
A stupid,
wear his
stupid
ass
thing.
Out. Get
and
tired.
I don't know if you haven't seen the finger roll.
That stupid underhand shot. Oh my God. That was so stupid. God damn it.
I sent James the video of there's a video of the Houston broadcast, so, and they just lose their minds about it. Because like you see him start to step, and the Houston guy already starts screaming no, because he's like, he's fixing to do this.
Fucking stupid.
Yeah, and he's just like, no, 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 no.
It's ridiculous.
Stupid stuff that guy does.
It's a Photoshop YouTube video. Don't trust it.
Right? It looks like a dude perfect shot. Like, I mean.
Yeah, we'll see how the season
playoffs
shakes
coming
out.
Soon.
Not much left. Yep. So, that's all the show we have for you today. I want to thank our listeners for downloading and listening each week and telling your friends about the Dome Patrol podcast. Be sure to like and subscribe and put it on our download so you can listen to it anytime, anywhere. Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, David Mole.
That's hard to be sure. There was...
Pardon me?
I said I've never even heard of something like that.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
The Dome Patrol podcast is the official Saints podcast of the Fans First Sports Network.